This is a podcast from the Royal Air Force Museum. For further information, please go to www.rafmuseum.org/podcasts.
Well, I'd like to welcome Bert Williams. I'm going to say formerly RAF PTI, Wolves and England hero, and welcome him to what we call our World War II hut on today, the 30th of June 2011. Welcome, Bert.
My privilege.
Well, tell us, could you explain to us how you started in the RAF?
Well, I volunteered, first of all, to join the RAF. And I had no real reason to go in any sort of department. And the person that was taking all the particulars said to me, well, what's your profession? I said, I'm a professional footballer, PTI. So that was the extent that I was put down as a PTI. And it was a very fortunate thing that I did this, because it was allied to my particular trade, wasn't it? I mean, I was going to do something that was going to keep me physically fit until such time as the war did eventually finish.
So where did you do your initial training, and what was your service number?
955683. I started off, first place we went to was Cardington. And I thought, this is a generous firm to work for. They gave us two of everything. Two pair of gloves, two pair of shoes. I thought, not too bad so far. And from then we went on to Morecambe, where we did our training on the seafront. And I thought, this is getting better. It isn't as bad as I thought. And then I got posted to a place called Tangmere. And Tangmere was a fighter station right down on the down south, which I was there for some time. And I moved on then to Uxbridge onto a PT course. It was quite a good course, you know. We were taught a lot about physical activities and physical actions and physical motives. And I was among friends, because a lot of them I knew, most of them were professional men, or either cricketers or footballers or boxers, as much as quite one, two, I think, a man called Peter Kane, who was a British champion or world champion, he was there. And from then I was very, very lucky. I got posted here to Cosford. And together with me were two other professional footballers. One was Jimmy McCormack, that used to play for Tottenham. And the other one was Jack Smith. He used to play for Chelsea, and he was a Welsh international. And we served quite time here at Cosford. I enjoyed every minute of it. And then I got posted to a bomber squadron called Lutford Magna in Lincolnshire. And this is where most of the big heavy raids from this country over Germany occurred. I was there for some time. And then eventually I got transferred to a company called Whedon, I think it was, and it was quite close to London. And I had the fortunate experience of being able to guest for Chelsea. And I was treated very, very well at Chelsea, and they knew that I would eventually get transferred from Walsall. And I made a half promise to Chelsea that I would go there. Anyway, the end of the war came, and I went back to Walsall, and I went there toward the latter part of my career. I went into the Walsall ground and played the game. And the director said to me, we'd like you to come into the director's room, and there's a club there wants to sign you. And I went. And a fellow called Jack Howley, who was my secretary at the Wolves, and he said, this is Mr. Howley from the Wolves, he wants to sign you. And I said, well, look, I've made a half promise to Chelsea that I will go down there. And they said, well, look, you go home and talk it over with your wife. And I caught the bus from Walsall to Bilston and got home. And when I got home, and unfortunately, my wife had been combing her hair, and she'd combed the inside of her eye, and she wasn't very interested in where I went at that particular time. So I thought, well, if I go down to London and this happens, I have to come back. I'll go back and sign for the Wolves. This is the best thing that I ever did in my life. I went back and signed for the Wolves, and I considered it to be the best club in the country. And eventually we went on to prove that we were not only the best club in the country, we were the best team in the world, because we played in matches that had been unheard of before on the floodlight. We played Honved, Spartak, Dynamo, and Honved. Their team consisted of about nine players who played in the Hungarian side at Wembley and beaten England 6. Mm. So that it looked as though we were on a hiding to nothing. But we eventually played Honved and we beat them 3-2. And the scenes that night at the ground, unbelievable. And the match was being broadcast on BBC. And it was in the last few seconds or minutes of the match, and one of their players ran through and he'd got just me to beat. The commentator at that time said, centre forward is running down, it looks as though, it's going to be a goal. And then this fella came and said, this is the BBC news. And the lines to the BBC were jammed and they had to come back and apologise and say, look, well, the news has been delayed and this is the result from the Honved Wolves match. William saved the ball, and that was it.
Can I ask you about your other team, which is the RAF?
Yes.
How did you get chosen to play for the RAF? Why did they start doing that?
I think we played RAF against Cosford, against someone else and somebody else, and I was playing for Chelsea, and they saw me play, and I got selected to play for.
And who did you play with? Who were some of the stars at the time?
Probably a lot of them have forgotten. George Hardwick, Stan Mortensen, and people like Bill Shankly.
Did you play alongside Rach Carter as well?
I played with Rach Carter, yes, Rach Carter.
What was he like?
Mannion and Finney, Tommy Finney.
What was Rach Carter like?
Rach Carter was an excellent player. He was a wonderful, he was a myth, even in his early days at Sunderland. And he was an excellent player.
So how did you get to these games? You were in the RAF, how did you get to play all around the country?
Well, when I was at Ludford Magna, Saturday was our free day. So Friday I used to get out from the camp, hitchhike from the camp to the nearest town. Hitchhike, oftentimes on the back of a lorry. I remember on one occasion, it was winter, midwinter, and I got on the back of this lorry, and it was an open lorry, and there was three or four of us in there, absolutely frozen. And when we came to where this fellow was going, that was it. You couldn't get off the lorry. The fellow thought we were all dead. He just rolled us off and left us there. But you used to make your own way sort of to the mat here.
And how did you get back?
Hitchhiked, mostly.
Hitchhiked again?
Mm-hmm.
And was this special leave given to you, or...?
I don't think there was any special concessions. I mean, I think the station that you were stationed at considered it an honour for the, but usually you had to make your own way there, and most of my travelling in between stations was hitchhiking back.
It's wonderful, mm. Wonderful. And what were the crowds like? What were the crowd like at the time?
The crowds, they're very appreciative. I mean, they weren't there in the numbers that they are today, obviously. But they were very appreciative that they seemed players who were exceptional.
And you obviously enjoyed those times.
How
did it feel with a war going on at the same time and still keeping the morale of the soldiers and RAF servicemen, you know, on a high?
Well, we were keeping in touch. Nobody knew how long the war was going to be, obviously. And we were doing something that would stand us in good stead to follow our careers after the war. Unfortunately, some people just didn't have that chance. But we were doing something that at least kept us sort of in the game or interested in it or were playing in it.
We've got some RAF gloves.
Yeah.
And so what did you wear when you were in goal for the RAF? Did you wear gloves or just you wore those?
Those, yeah. And then I wore them out, then I bought a woolly pair, just an ordinary woolen pair. This business of the ones they wear today is ridiculous. With goalkeeping, your fingers touch the ball first, sink back into your hands, and your thumb's there to stop it going through. But they just, those things, you can't, once they get in front of your face, it obscures your vision to a certain extent.
What, do you remember any of the matches during the war years? Were there any matches that stay in your mind that you fondly remember?
Quite a few, really, because that it was during the war years that I got sort of recognition. One match that stands out in my mind, the ones we won and did well, I take as granted, but I played in one particular match, Army versus the Air Force, and the Air Force hadn't got a very good side, but the Army had full of international, and we lost 7. So that stands out in my mind. I'll never forget that. And I thought that's the end of my career, but it wasn't. It was a start. Lovely.
And when you were at Cosford, were there any stars, as you called them, that were based here?
A lot of them passed through, people like Peter Dougherty, and they would come here to Cosford for the PT course was eventually transferred to Cosford here. What was fascinating about it in the early days was the people that had volunteered for service, and most of them sportsmen. There were champion boxers, Freddie Mills, and champion athletes, and all sorts of people, down-to-earth sort of people. And you realised you weren't the only one that was being sort of taken advantage of.
What would you say to children today?
Years ago, you had a choice. First thing your parents said you should do is you left school at 14, go out and find a job. And I was fortunate because I'd been playing for the school, I'd been playing for the pick of the town, and Walsall had got to know about this. And they came over to sign me, and they said, we want to sign you. I was only 14 or 15 at the time. Would you like to sign for Walsall? It was my dream to be a professional footballer because my father was an extremely good player, but unfortunately he had glasses and he didn't make top grade. But he taught me a great deal about it, and he helped me more than anyone. I always supported the West Bromwich Albion, to be quite, as a boy, I shouldn't have said that. You know, but
no.
I did, yeah.
We'll edit that one out.
And even today I can tell you the Albion side that I saw. It was Pearson, Centerman, Shaw, McGee, Richardson and Edwards, Glidden, Tommy Glidden, Teddy Sanford, W.G.D. Richardson and Stanley Wood. And what happened was they used to be on a coach. They're all Albion supporters where I was, Bill Bradley, where I was born. And sometimes they would take me on the coach with them. And this was my idea of paradise. After the match, we'd stop and have faggots and peas, you know, and I thought, this is living, this is for me. And that's how I received every sort of encouragement from my parents.
So that the parents are important, the friendship.
Absolutely. Yeah.
And enjoying life, but exactly. In its simple terms. Mm-hmm. I think that's lovely, thank you.
And it's nice to get paid for something you would do for nothing. That was the advantage I took.
Well, Bert, can I thank you for coming here today?
I've enjoyed it immensely.
We've got some presents for you. Mm-hmm. Thank you very much, and I know we normally do a round of applause, but thank you.
Right.
Thanks for listening to this podcast from the Royal Air Force Museum.